Good meeting. I sure appreciate the Lord and the privilege to be here. I know God's able to meet every need. Won't you stand with me all over this building, if you will? You know, the Bible teaches us that there is a time and a place for all things. Amen. And I want to drop this in. God's not taking nothing away from you tonight that you're going to walk back into tomorrow. I don't know if you can hear me or not out there. God's not taking nothing away from you tonight that tomorrow you're going to play with. That's right. We've got a whole lot of folks that's asked the question, where does demon possession come in at? How does a man or a woman become so easily bound by the powers of hell? It's your constant in and out. Up, down, always feeling like you got a hold of God, and the least little thing come along, trip you up and knock you back into sin. I ain't getting a lot of help out of you. The more you play with it, the deeper the hold gets. This ain't a quick fix. Salvation, and I don't know why I know I got you on your feet, but it's not just a remedy to put your family back together. It's not a remedy to fix you off drugs and alcohol. It's a remedy to get you out of hell into heaven. All of the rest of this other stuff drops off when you get saved. I'm getting saved because I don't want to drink no more. You're getting saved for the wrong reason. I'm getting saved because my family's broke up and I want my family back together. You're getting in for the wrong reason. You ain't getting in. But when you get in because I'm going to hell, and I don't want to go to hell, then you're going to pray your way through the whole time salvation. Oh, come on, talk back to me now. Why did He come? Did He come just to break the yoke of sin and only because of the fact that you drink, you smoke, you lie, you cheat? He don't do it just for that. He don't want you to go to hell. He comes to save you from hell. I don't know how you feel about it. It's a little tight in this house on the first night, but that's quite all right. But a whole lot of folks get saved because of conditions. But it never really, very seldom do you ever see him just pray through, God, I don't want to go to hell. But everybody I ever saw pray through and stuck, they said it first. I don't want to go to hell, God. I don't want to die lost without you. Do you know what made me get saved 23 years ago? It was the fact that I saw where I was headed. And I knew if I died that night, I'd end up in hell. I don't know why I feel like saying it, but I'm going to preach here in just a minute. But you ain't going to get saved for no other reason but to escape the damnation of hell. You hear me? There's a whole lot of folks put premium on salvation far as to the fact of what it can fix and what it can work out in their life. But Mr. Ma'am, if you're ever really going to get saved, my home must be secondary. My soul must be primary. Ooh. Preacher, you've missed it on that. No, sir. No, I don't believe so. If any man ever gets a hold of God, it's because he sees he's lost without Him. I don't want to be saved just for the reason that God fixed my home. I don't know why I keep feeling that. God fixed my home But the question is, sir, ma'am, if she don't come back, are you going to stay saved? If he don't come back to the house, are you and the children going to go to heaven? If it don't work out like you got it laid out before God, are you still going to want to serve Him? Them Hebrew boys, look at me. Them Hebrew boys said, fire or no fire. Death or no death. The matter is settled. I'm staying with Him. I feel like that's where God would like to get some of us, don't you? Settle the matter and stay with Him. Come sink, swim, or die. I plan to hold on. Amen. Why don't we lift our hands toward heaven? Ask the Lord to help us here in this service. Hallelujah. 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 Spirit of God, help me here tonight. Hallelujah. Amen. I appreciate you being here. You may be seated. I covet your prayers. I pray, Lord, to help us in this meeting this year. And I'd like to see God get into the arrangements and get a hold of things. And by the time this meeting's over with, you walk out of here a different person than what you walked in. You know, sometimes we call it youth rally, but to me, I know it's youth rally and everything, but it's been like camp meeting. I've walked out of here walking on high stilts after the end of this meeting. And I mean, God's been good. God's been a helping, and I'm thankful for it. And don't think for one minute, if God goes to helping, the devil's going to leave you alone. Amen. Well, it's got to be, it's got to be. I'll pull it by myself. Matthew chapter 11. Very familiar scripture. I'm glad to say that, happy to have Brother Chuck Bennett here. I was surprised that he got to come and stay. I don't know how long he's going to get to stay. All week. Shoo. Y'all give him the microphone. And like the old preacher said, I'll take the offering, just give it to him. I was in a meeting one night, and this preacher, he's already dead and gone. He was to preach that night, but the Holy Ghost fell, and I got to preaching. He got kind of crazy and ran around the church and hollered about halfway around it, preach on, I done got the offering. Well, I'm going to preach to you tonight something I really felt heavy on my heart. I'd like for you to loosen up here on the first night. Who has to wait till Friday night to get a hold of God? I'd like to just touch Him right here tonight. Anybody felt Him get close to this house tonight? Young people, did you feel Him get close? Well, I plan to preach to you tonight. Most of the meeting we have started off preaching a lot to the church, the adults, and leading our young people and touching our young people. But I'm preaching to the youth tonight. I'll be back with us maybe tomorrow night. And but I just feel in my heart that the Lord's got something to say. And I really don't feel like it's just for the youth. I feel like the nature and the spirit of our youth is a spillover from the previous generation. That's right. What you fail to kill, they're having to fight. That's right. And so the battle becomes great. The book of Matthew chapter 11, verse number 7. When you found your place, say amen. And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, what went ye out into the wilderness to see? a reed shaken with the wind? What went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. More than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. May the Lord help me. I want to preach tonight on what you come for. What did you come for? You got to agree with me that religion has become a popular subject in our world today. Everybody saved, they ain't nobody lost. Doesn't matter how you live, it doesn't matter where you go. It doesn't matter what you wear, it don't matter what you say. Don't really even matter what church you attend as long as you attend church. Religion has become just a hot dish with everybody. Come on here, stare at me. Jesus asked three questions in three little verses. He said, what did you go out there for to see? What prompts you to go out there? What was it that that man was preaching that made you decide, I want to go see what that preacher's got to say? I mean, there's a whole lot of folks in they come to church only for the reason to sniff out new news. Hallelujah. They're not really for us. They just come to see what we're doing. Hey, hallelujah. I'm going to get to our young people in just a minute. But Jesus looked at this multitude and they were filled with religious leaders. And he asked them, he said, you that are come out here to talk to me, what prompts you to go talk to John? What made you want to go ask John questions? What was it that made you want to go out there where that wild man was praying and people were being touched by the power of God? What was it that made you go out there? I want to ask our young people right here in this youth rally here tonight. What made you come back this year? Was it the games? Was it the fun, the activities? Or was it that God done something? The Holy Ghost reached down in my life and done something last year. I need to come back this year and hear what God's got to say. Hallelujah. You see, we got a whole lot of folks, amen, that are mesmerized by religion. Religion to them is a new suit of clothes. It's a fixed up hair. It's a well-dressed do. It is a new outfit that makes the world snap and clap at everything they do. But there's a wild man out there in the desert. He's not wearing soft clothes. His clothes ain't glamorous. But he's got heaven looking at him. He's got God watching him. Every time he moves, he's carrying a host of heaven with him. I want to ask us here, why did we come back this year for? What did we come here and gather here another year for? Grandma, why'd you push it? Amen. I may get a little loud, but I hope to get right in your ear. I'm telling you, we come and gathered around religion unto a religion now. It's no more than a soft dose of feel good. It's not a salvation that changes. It's not a religion that fixes up open hearts, a broken light. Come on here, look at me now. I'm telling you, even for our age, it's a no good, she'll feel good. I've been in it for a long time. It don't prompt me, it don't push me. It don't make me feel no different. I say, God, get a hold of us and give us what John had in the wilderness. I said, give us what John had in the wilderness. you come to see? Jesus looked at that group of men, that group of women, and it began to, if I can paraphrase, how you know it's always been said, I want to know what's going on. I want to see what's happening. I'm intrigued by it. Well, the dope addict's intrigued by it too. I don't want nobody to get offended. But if you're easily offended, you're liable to get offended. Just believing ain't fixing your troubles. Do you realize when you say believe, that puts you on the same plane as the devil lives on? The Bible said the devils believe and they tremble. We need something more than just saying I believe. We need an evidence that God's been with us and the Holy Ghost has come by our way. I'm finding, I don't know how you feel. Just sit right there. It's getting harder to preach. The years roll by. We're getting more stone-faced, hard-hearted, cold feelings. What did we come for? Give me a little bit here, brother. I want to be able to hear myself. Amen. I know you can hear it. But I want you to understand, we've got a problem on our hands. Evil's called for a new showdown with our generation. And we better have something more than just religion to stand up to the plate and give them a move of God. Had a young boy tell me today, I walked out to the dorm. I don't say this to put him on the spot. I'm not even going to call his name. I asked about his daddy. He said, Daddy's lost. I said, how's mama? He said, she's barely hanging on. She's having it hard. This was his statement. He had little knowledge of what I'm preaching tonight. But this is what he said. I hope to get something this week that he can go home. He said, and Daddy could see it in me. Jesus looked at that crowd. He said, why did you go out there? What prompted you to run the job? I want to talk to you. What made you come back this year? Was it hunger for a move of the Holy Ghost? Was it a desire for an old time vision of the power of God that set up a Hosea that separates our meetings from just being meetings? Every generation has a new evil to fight. In our day, hang on to your seat. I feel like preaching here. It may not fly too high for you. But oh, in my daddy's day, my daddy's 72, 73 years old, he told me these words. He said, in my generation, he said, if a homosexual was to walk up to me or walk up to us back then, he said, we'd have beat him down in the ground. Come on here. Help me while I preach. But listen now. Come here, Brother Bailey. I want to use you. But you know what we're now asked to do? Is to become socially accepted and to have a good part with it. I'll tell you why John dwelt in the wilderness. I'll tell you why John was out there and everybody ran to see him. He was the form of the gospel wrapped up in the flesh. If any man was to come, he had to come to him. I tell you, Jesus said it. If any man will come, let him come after me. Let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Mister, I'm here to tell you, it's more than a feel good. You better have an experience. I have fought in prayer, spirit, about this meeting this year than I've ever fought. You know why? I said, preacher, it's a little much on the first year. Well, I'm going to load the wagon right here. Here we got a people that are coming. They're not coming to see us. They're coming to see what they can get into. Young girl, I want you to stare at this little fat preacher. When you came to our meeting, did you come with the sole intent, I'm coming to hear what the Holy Ghost has to say to me? Or when I was combing my hair before church, was I combing it to attract Him? My God, I wish we could attract the Holy Ghost. If we could attract Him, He'll come in this house. Demon possession will be delivered. Hearts and lives that are standing on the brink of ruin will be destroyed if we don't have a move of the Holy Ghost. Look at me. Look where our knowledge has got us. We've wived ourselves in the school of knowledge while feebling our hands at deliverance. Our heads have become fat. Our hearts have become lame. Our hands have become paralyzed. They don't know to follow us. Stay with me. It's one of them nights when you just preach it because you got to. You see, it's one of them times when they don't know whether to believe us or to believe what they're hearing in the wilderness. Help me while I preach. Come on here. One step closer. I want every preacher in this house. And if you're not a preacher, I ask you please just either go to this side or what, step down. But I want all the preachers right here in this corner. Will you please do that for me? I feel like preaching a little bit tonight. I may get in trouble on the first night. That's all right. That's all right. We can make it back to the house. But oh, I feel like preaching just a little bit right here. Come quickly if you will. I tell you, if there's ever been a time that we need a stirring of the power of God, it's in the hour in which we live. Look at me now. You know what the generation out there that has slipped away from a move of God is telling our children? Don't follow man. Don't follow what they say. You get it for yourself. Well, let me ask you a question, sir. What got you in there? What voice was it in the wilderness that prompted you to get saved? Oh, sweet God of heaven. I said, what voice was it that was echoed out of that pulpit that said, repent, or the kingdom of heaven is at hand? If you don't get saved, you're going to go to hell and die lost. What was it that made that John scream in your pulpit the morning you got saved? Don't follow that preacher. He's crazy. Hang on to your seat. Don't listen to what he's got to say. He's just a voice that weeps and wails. He's a crying preacher. That's all his problem is. I'm going to take my time here tonight. I was in a youth camp. There were 296 children there. The night speaker got up, made one of the dumbest statements I've ever heard anybody make in their life. It's right, I said it. He got up. He made the statement. He said, you listen to me, young people. It ain't none of your pastor's business who you marry. I sat there. There was about 15 brethren out of my church with me that night. All at once, they all looked down the aisle where I was a-sitting. My assistant pastor was sitting next to me. He looked over there at me and he said, "Man," he said, "what an idiot. Sorry if it gets a little tight. If you listen, you'll be glad you did." Immediately when he said that, my mind began to roll. It began to tumble. And I said, "Mister, I can tell you ain't got no experience." I said, "If it's none of my business, well then it's none of my business when they get to get a divorce or when she's laid up in a room with her eyes black and blue where she married a devil. I'm telling you, sir, we're having this meeting not just to play games. We're here to direct your life and to set you on the course of God's highway. If you look in the other direction, then the highway of holiness, it's sorrow, it's pain, it's travail that you've never known." I sat there. "Hang on." I sat there and I said, "Mister, if it ain't none of my business as their shepherd on who they marry, but then I'm going to ask, this is what I'm going over in my head. When they go to having marital problems, who do they talk to? What have I got to say? What do I got to lean on? I'm talking to you. Oh, he may look good, but his breath don't smell as good like it does all the time. Believe it or not, she's ugly in the morning. Hey, man. I'm telling you, I'm going to be a little plain right here. What'd you come to this meeting for? That little girl that you think that there ain't nothing but roses that bloom at her feet. It's the same little girl, when you get her, if she ain't been reared in holiness, she'll teach your daughter how to be a harlot. She'll teach your daughter how to dress like a harlot. Say amen anyhow. That's why some of you grandmas are still dyeing your hair, wearing makeup. That's why some of you are running with the crowd like they run. You hate John the Baptist. Y'all have all sounded me close. I said you hate him. But my question is, what are you doing here? If you don't love holiness, what else are they to love? If you don't love holiness. John's crazy, ain't he? He's crazy, ain't he? But if you'll listen to John, he can save you a lot of trouble. You're going to leave me. You're going to sit down on this one. We don't put a rope around some of this junk. We ain't going to have nobody fit to preach the gospel or be a deacon in our church. What is it? What is it really? I don't mean to pick on you, but since you're the host pastor, I've been used like this. I got a world of confidence in this man. I don't tell you how much confidence I do got. I believe if God told him to tell me something, I'm taking it to the bank. That's all there is to it. And I'm not just saying it because I'm preaching this meeting. But look at me. Look right at it this way. What is it about John that you don't like? Young boy, what is it about John in your pulpit that you don't like? Huh? When he tells you that a man that's a friend of the world is an enemy to God. I know it, brethren. Listen to me. Don't leave me, young boys. I know there's a whole lot of more ornaments that you can preach on a woman. But young man, when you get to loving the world, the love of God leaves your eyes. I said the love of God leaves your eyes. That John becomes an enemy. You go to sidestepping him. You go to walking around him. You don't want to hear what he's got to say. But I must tell you, according to Jesus' report, ain't a better man living than John the Baptist. Preacher, brethren, I'm not here to just pin roses, but there ain't a better man living than a man that'll preach the gospel and that will not compromise on the truth. What'd you come for, girl? That preacher that night made a statement. He said, I'm sick and tired of hearing folks make statements about all they do is come to youth camp, camp meetings, and revivals to find a boyfriend or a girlfriend. And he said, where do you want them to get them? I mean, the whole time he's talking, my brains are rolling. I want to get them on the altar. How would you like to be married to a woman who got the Holy Ghost same night you got it? Come on. How would you like to be married to a woman? Come on, stare at me, young folk. What'd you come to this meeting for? How would you like to marry a woman that when the law was laid down in the gospel, she didn't buck, bend, or bow at anything else but line up? Say amen anyhow. She don't want to try to dress it. I wasn't going to say it tonight, but I'm here to tell you in this house, if you didn't like holiness preaching, why did you come back this year? I'm just preaching what God gave me. I'm here to ask you, what reasons are you here for? Is it to get closer to God and leave here a better Christian, or to leave here with a boy's address and his telephone number while the Holy Ghost is not ringing his hands? What's gone wrong, preacher? I'll tell you what's gone wrong. Mama feels like her daughter's left out, so she wants her daughter to have a boyfriend. It don't matter if he's a hoodlum. As long as he can get a haircut, he's all right. But oh, you can wash up a hog all you like. Spray the perfume on him all you want. But give him just a little bit of time by himself, he'll be right back in the hog pen. Come on, you ain't helping me. How many of our young girls have got married to young boys that we didn't have enough discernment to pray them through on the altar and find out whether it was God's will or not? Come on here. You say, preacher, lad, they go to church, so what? The devil goes to church. You hear me? Ain't none of my business. That's what you're telling me. Me and my daughter, we can work this out. Me and my family can get this together. We can fix it. That's all right. But when they can't have lights in their house without the church help paying their light bill, she should got a man that wanted to work. A lot of the deeds of sin that are fulfilled in the lives of our children are unwrapped presents in the lives of parents who they waited later in too much of embarrassment to open it up in their generation, left the poison to spill over into the next generation. So when their children takes a hold of the bowl and unwraps it, instead of it jack-in-the-box coming out, It's a new wave of worldliness. John, you're out of date. Nobody likes your style of preaching. How come you don't like John? I got a few things, the reason why you don't like him. You don't like him because when he knows when you got somebody else's wife. You don't like it because when you strutted yourself out there in your holiness while he was baptizing others, he rose up and looked at you and said, "Where is the fruits of your repentance? You've never been nothing but a troublemaker in the church. Show us where you made things right." Come on here. See, some of you ain't going to look at me. I'm coming to where you're at. I mean, you've told everything that you can tell. That's just their opinion. Ain't that funny? Ain't that funny how it's our opinion, but it used to be your belief? It wasn't our just our opinion. It was your belief. Years ago, hang on, I might get in trouble right here. I remember reading a story back in the early 40s when T.L. Lowry was around in the teenage years of preaching. He went over to Father Divine's house. Anybody remember Father Divine, reading the history about Father Divine? He said, "I went to the prophet's house." He said, "When I got there," he said, "they told in the newspaper, it said, Father Divine's in town." And so he got out there walking on the street, him and some of his colleagues together. And he said they saw a motel and it had on the billboard, it said, "Father Divine lives here." So he walked in there where the girl was at the counter and he asked the question. He said, "Is Father Divine in?" Said, "No, he's not here." He said, "Well, is he in town?" Said, "Yes." T.L. Lowry said, "I'd like to have a meeting with him." He then looked at that girl, looked at him and said, "You can." And he looked at her and he said, "Ma'am," he said, "do you really believe Father Divine is God?" This was a startling statement. She looked at him and she said, "I used to believe he was God. But," she said, "now I know he is God." Some of you used to believe what we believe. And now you've settled to the resolve that you think we're wrong and you're right. Preacher, you ain't got nothing to hit if you hit it all tonight. I do. But there's a lot of things, sir, that John preached about in the wilderness that they didn't just come out there to hear. They come out there to fight over. Sunday morning when you come to church, at your church, let me just say it as a collective whole, do you come to hear or do you come to fight? I wouldn't give you a plug nickel for a man that could beat his own drum and talk in tongues when he felt like it. Say amen. While the rest of them went back to the palace, John went back to the wilderness. While the rest of them, come on, I'm losing you, ain't I? While the rest of them went back to lay down on soft beds, he went back out underneath the tree to hear what God had to say. And Jesus looked at this group and he said, "Oh, you think I've lost it, ain't you? I saw it when you went out there to hear what John had to say. But my question is, why did you go? You knew what he was going to preach. Why did you go?" It's a strange thing to me how that we know what's right, but we just don't want to step up to the plate and declare what is right. We want John to preach it at everybody else's children, but you leave my children alone. I'm going to lose some of you. But when there was a time when you would have said, "Amen, what I'm preaching," you have a wandering frustration building up inside of you tonight wondering, why? Why this? It's all right, let it get quiet. Because you know why? Whether you want to accept it or not, you're a bigger influence on your children than all of these men are. If we run by the schedule of hours, of 168 hours in 1 week, 9 of them on an average is what we get your people for. All the rest of them, they live at your house. So who carries the greater influence? When John looks on Sunday morning, I feel like preaching this. When John looks at you young people on Sunday morning and says, you got to sow that split up. How does it react to you? Do you get mad about it? Or is there enough God inside of you say, Lord, I don't want to offend you. I'm going to slow down and talk to you. We're wanting the Holy Ghost to shout us. We're wanting the Holy Ghost to use us. But if He has to touch us, we want to be sure He don't get us past this right here. Because if go any higher, I'm going to show off my midriff. So you don't know what that is, do you? It's your stomach. I want to move with the Holy Ghost, but these old convictions that I had, I just kind of seem to bottle them up and put them over. So John gets up in the pulpit. He ain't been at your house all week. Oh boy. And John takes the pulpit and says, I've been troubled all weekend about a few things, and I just feel like I need to talk about them tonight. And so when he gets up there and he gets to talking about the way some of you are starting to move and the direction you're headed into, he gets asking, why are you doing it? Which way are you planning on that route to take you? Is it going to take you to heaven or is it going to take you to hell? Then you blow up, get mad at him, leave the church, walk out. And the whole question is, while you're mad at him, God's patting John on the back. So John turns to walk away hearted, that's broken. Because you didn't hear what he had to say. Holy Ghost eases up right behind him. That's good, John. That's good. They're not rejecting you, John. They're rejecting what I've got to say to them. I want every young girl and every young boy in this building to look at me. When you say to us preachers, you're crazy for telling me my contemporary music. There ain't nothing wrong with it. Come on here. There's young preachers' wives that are preaching the gospel across this country. Their wives listen to that junk and they're infiltrating it in our children. You lost your mind, preacher. What things that you wouldn't... Come here. Look at me. What you wouldn't allow in your pulpit to preach to you, you'll go set and let it entertain you. I know an old saint of God, used to be a saint of God, you know you can be lost and never cut your hair? I got y'all up here for one other reason, John. Not to just look, help me out. They went to a friend of mine's church in Savannah, Georgia. I'm not calling no names. He's dead and gone already anyways. They got he couldn't hear. They got a Mexican man from Mexico to come, a missionary, come to the meeting. Sister Gail Myers called him and said, pray for him that he can hear. He walked over there and began to speak in Spanish in prayer. And immediately, God opened up his ears. He could hear. He stayed in the Holiness Church. Stay with me. He stayed in the Holiness Church all his life until he got to the time when he was to marry a young girl. She came holiness only for a little while. Long enough to put Jezebel under just a little hypnosis to where she didn't mind letting her hair grow. Hang on. Didn't mind cleaning up her face. But when she hooked him and got him in, she then in turn woke Jezebel up. You're leaving me. And then the battle set in. Mama couldn't do much, but they formed, am I telling it right, baby? They formed a gospel group. If I called their name, you'd know them all over the country. Huh? Everybody, you see them in their picture? Daughter-in-law's made up, dressed up, looks like Jezebel. And there sits a little holiness mama on the front cover
of the album
with her beehive. She ain't no more faithful to church no more. She's off on the weekends calling, singing, or calling. If I've trimmed too close, you'll just have to take it up with God because he's talking to John. Preacher, I can't come this weekend, but I will tell you this. I'll be back next weekend. We ain't got nowhere to go. Anytime your religion puts you on the forefront, sets God on the back burner, it's a religion that's made of self and not of God. So when they came to hear John, hang in here. When they came to hear John, John began to preach about their self-made religion. They got mad at him and turned their horses and chariot and went a different direction. Ain't it a sad reproach that our children that used to live under our convictions now don't even want to live like us? Why is it? I'll tell you why it is. Herodias got mad. And she thought for the best remedy there was kill John. I'll shut him up. We'll kill him. You know, there's some of you in this building, and I'm going to ease off the young folks right here. There's some of you in this building, you've drawn so cold to John's preaching that you can smile at him while he's preaching and still be his enemy. You know where I got this? I had planned to preach something else. I sat down at a table last night in Charleston, West Virginia to feed the crowd that was with me, and I'm closing. I got sat down as good started eating. All of a sudden, something rose up inside of me. I put my fork down. I sat there. I tried to rub my head to hide the tears that were dripping from my cheeks. Somebody spoke to me and I couldn't speak and I had to just get up. And I went to the bathroom and fell up against the wall. And God said, I want you to ask them tomorrow night, why did they come? They knew what they were going to hear. Why did you come? Did you hear what the Holy Ghost said? Or have you grown so hard that that don't even move you? Young person, young mamas and daddies, I don't mean to preach this all on the first night. But there's homes in this building. Some of you gray-headed mamas and daddies has been in holiness for a long time. You bought DVDs for your grandchildren and you raised your children without it. I'm not ashamed to talk about it. Why'd you do it? Did you get mad at John? Because John told you you couldn't have it. God said you couldn't take it. We want a revival of old time holiness. That this generation here will catch on fire. But did you hear what the Holy Ghost said? He said when you sin against knowledge. What is that knowledge? James said, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. And then he said, sin will not inherit the kingdom of God. Hang on to your seat. I'm done. But we can forget about waking up this generation. If this generation that's right here behind it don't turn and start screaming, get back to the old landmark.
Come on.
I want to talk to you because my soul's moved on by the Holy Ghost. I may go home tomorrow. But liking holiness and living holiness is two different pictures. Preacher, if you ain't careful, we're going to run them off. I ain't never seen where holiness ran nobody off but the devil.
That's right. The devil. That's right. Not the church. Come on.
I may ease off on your doctrine here, and you may get mad at me. But I got a man that went to my church. He got mad at me and left me. Because I didn't believe in snake handling. Flirt with stupidity if you like.
That's right.
Come on here. But when it takes everything else to make you stay happy being saved, other than the blood, you ain't never really got in to start with. You got that Jesus only crowd? All they're happy with is his name and nothing else. You got that charismatic crowd? All they're happy with is how high we can get it. They don't care about living right. You got that other crowd out there? Once saved, always saved. It don't matter what you live like, what you act like, what you do. As long as you just get saved, forget it. But when there's anything other than the blood that prompts you to worship, it's not of God. Stand with me all over this house. Tomorrow night may be a little different. But tonight, I wrestled with this. I said, preacher, it's awful strange it started on the first night. I feel like telling somebody, and if I die this night, I'm going to tell a grandma in this building, the Lord sent me to tell you you're heading in the wrong direction. If I die this night, I'm going to repeat some of your words right here so the Holy Ghost can bear record of it. God didn't give me this talent to bury it and put it on the shelf. He didn't give you a talent either to play it for the world either. My brother that's lost, he's an alcoholic. I hate to God it's so quiet here. Never played a guitar in his life. Picked the strings. It's been probably 30 years since he's played in church. He never knew how to play, didn't know how to make the first chord. He picked up electric guitar, had a praying mama. He said, "Mama, pray that the Lord will give me a talent to play." She prayed and sought God. God told my mama, said, "I'll give him a talent, but he better use it for me." Forrest is lost. He's on his way to hell. He's lost. Alcoholic. But he's got so much fear that when he told God, "If you'll teach me, I promise you, I'll not play it nowhere else but at church." He's been offered to play at clubs, pick around with other folks. You can't get him to touch a guitar. He'll look at you and tell you, "I told God I wasn't going to touch it if I wasn't saved." There's folks in this building tonight. We took our convictions and hit them and pushed them over so we can say, "I'm reaching a crowd out there that we normally couldn't reach in church." But you mark it in your little black book. It may be quiet here on the first night. I'm about tired of folks looking at us holiness preachers like we're the problem. We're not the problem. We're trying to solve the problem. Young people, so I get someone to come to the piano, I want to ask you a question. What'd you come here for this week? Can you give me your attention now? What'd you come here for? Wherever you came from, did you come all this way just to see a girl? Oh, ain't nothing wrong with having a good holiness girl. But you better have God first more than you do that holiness girl. Anything wrong with that? You get God first, you won't have to worry about going off to work and coming home worried about somebody else is going to be there in the house. You ain't never known heartache until you sit across the table and try to counsel with two people that their homes broke up because of cheating. Preacher, you can get me if I'm wrong. These young folks don't even need a book. They got a mind that's so deranged by thoughts that when they see them, they just undress them with their eyes. Where does it come from, preacher? I'm going to tell you what the Holy Ghost gave me. You've talked so much against John until now when John preaches, he's no more than just John. He's not the voice that says to me, "I need to straighten up." The Bible said that though the chastening of the Lord seems to be what? Grievous. It's only but for the moment. Daddy, you ever whooped your child? Did you stay mad at him forever? Or after the madness left or the aggravation, then you reach over there and grab him and say, "Come here. Daddy loves you." I've had the Lord scold me. But then when I felt like I didn't deserve it, He'd come by and just put His arm around me and say, "Daddy loves you." How many in this building, be honest with me, say, "I've had that from Him. I've gotten in trouble with God and God's convicted my heart about it." Come on here. I don't feel like I'm getting as much participation as He would like to have in here. How many things have God pricked on my heart and said, turn away from? You know, the Bible said the footsteps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. There's some things we wouldn't walk into if we'd listen to what God had to say. There's some stores we'd drive past and wouldn't even stop at because the Holy Ghost said, go to the next one. I've done it. I've been in the hospital. And I'm not going into the story. I was laying in the hospital on an emergency room. I was laying there. And the Lord, they just checked me in, Brother Bailey. Laid me down. And when they laid me down, she walked out. And the Holy Ghost spoke to me and said, the next lady that comes in here, she's coming in, her home's broke up. Her family's about to be destroyed. Her children are gone into chaos. Says she's looking to leave her husband. Man, my mind just, right then the Lord spoke to me. I didn't know what to think. She walked in the door, and I said, I want to talk to you. Before you say anything to me, I want my wife in this room. She said, wait till after the doctor looks at you and I check you out. I said, no ma'am, I want my wife in this room. She went out there and got my wife, and while she stepped out, my wife came in. I rehearsed what I just told you right there to my wife. She walked in the door, did she not? Pulled up a chair, a rolling chair, and pulled it right up beside my bed. So you're a preacher. And she went off spilling into it. There's some things we wouldn't walk into if we let the Holy Ghost lead us. There's some things I feel the Lord of heaven here that we would never say if we'd stopped it right here before it ever come out here.
You're right.
And a lot of times, come on, look at me. A lot of times, before it's ever said, God tells John about it. I don't know why you're going to... Just stay there and look at me if you like. See, you're preaching way too long for a youth meeting tonight. No, I'm not. Young people, respect your mom and daddy and love them. But outside of mom and daddy, the best friend you'll ever have in this world will be your preacher. If he's a holiness preacher. You hear me? When daddy kicks him, stay with him. When mama says, don't listen to what he says, you ain't got to dress like that. Stay with him. You're not listening to me. But there's a little girl in judgment tonight who danced for one man's head. All because of an evil mother. And my question is, wake up. My question is, which way are we pushing our children? What purpose did they come here for? Did we spend money for them to come and say, maybe you can get you a girlfriend this year? Or did they come to say, I'm going to go home with the Holy Ghost this year? Preacher, you don't have to ask me to come back. But there's more to this youth camp than running that ball out there on that court. I'm here with a burden tonight. I want you to play. What's the matter? I'll tell you what's the matter. I feel like the Holy Ghost has spoken in this house. When you sin against knowledge, you know to do good. And you don't do it, trouble awaits you. We're starting off a little different this year than we normally have. God started off with a question. Why'd you come? Why'd you come? I'll tell you why I came. I came to see you get help. Ain't no sense in going through it. We can point out and say, we've lost this one since last year. How about got sick, haven't you? We're hearing folks say, well, they're not in church no more. They're not saved. They're backslid. Ain't you about got sick of that? What you going to do when God says, leave them alone? They're not going to change. They're not going to stop what they're doing. I know I'm not a fool. I know I'm preaching a little lengthy. But I want to get this off me tonight. I want you to come for more than just the games. I believe if we could have the youth leaders that are over this meeting this week, if you could talk to them, we'll skip Bible trivia if you want to pray through to the Holy Ghost. I know it's hard for some to accept it, but wouldn't you like to get sanctified? That's a gift that we don't talk about no more. But wouldn't it be wonderful if we struck off tomorrow night service and say, we didn't get out of morning service tomorrow till 2 o'clock. We had 5 or 6 go through to the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Why are you here? Come on, talk to me. Why are you here? What are you battling? What have you brought to this meeting this year that you're battling, that you'd like to leave here on this altar and go home free from it? What bad news that you've heard that you'd like to outlive? Ain't but one way to do it, and that's stay with God. Father, in the name of Jesus, my soul's pricked tonight, moved by your presence. I'm asking God you to deal with us in this service tonight. Father, it's come to a stop right here where man's got to make a choice. Help us make the right choice. Don't let us be a fool here on this altar and lose sight with you. While every head's bowed, every eye closed. Something Noah Phillips don't hardly ever do. I'm going to do it tonight. Young girl, when you go to the mall and you see that girl walk by you that's half dressed and it looks like she's turning everybody's head, what does it do to you? I'm here to talk to you. Does the devil jump on your back and say, you could be that way? There's a couple of you girls right here in this center section. I know I'm preaching to you. Your response to that is, I can't. The church don't believe in it. What about my soul not believing in it? Young boy, said, preacher, may not be the place to say it. When you see that boy dressed with his breeches dragging the ground, his clothes hanging off him, earrings in his ears, necklaces around his neck, do you count that cool? Or do you say, God, keep me from that? I don't want to go that way. I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to follow that crowd. How many of you folks are really interested in our children getting a hold of something this year? Whether you want to believe it or not, whether you want to believe it or not, they're fighting things that you ain't never fought. Feelings that you probably ain't never had to battle. The devil's pushing on their door. How many young folks do I have in this building tonight? Step out of that pew and say, preacher, I'm not going to say it. I'm not even going to list it out in this house. And ask you to raise your hand. I'm just going to ask you to step out of that pew and say, there's some things I want to pray about. I want to come to this meeting to get help. Who's going to be the first one? There they are. Who's going to be the first to step out? Some of you teenage girls that are already up in 17 and 18, been coming to camp for years. You know what you need to be doing? You need to be leading the way for them other young girls and young boys to say, I want to go God's way. Is this all that's battling? Is this all that the devil's talking to out of our young people?